New to Medical Device Sales Meetup in Scottsdale, Arizona, May 4th. This is going to be an event where you can come, you can learn from people inside the industry, teaching you how to break into medical device sales, as well as how to actually perform once you're inside the industry. This event's not only going to be for people who are trying to break into medical device sales, but for people who are already in medical device sales. A bunch of different speakers, as well as having the opportunity of having people we've helped break into medical device sales come, introduce themselves, speak, because they're going to be able to share their experiences of what it was like to break in and also what it's like as their experience inside medical device sales. This is also going to be a time not only to learn, but to also network. Like I said, we're going to have people inside the industry, but we're also going to have people outside the industry trying to get inside of medical device sales. And this is a great time to can make those connections that will continue to grow throughout the next several years and your career in medical device sales. Here at New to Medical Device Sales, community is massive for us. And I want to continue to give back to that community, continue to grow and put back into you all and just say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I'm really looking forward to seeing you in Scottsdale on May 4th for the New to Medical Device Sales Meetup. Click the link below.
Welcome back to New to Medical Device Sales. I am your host, Jacob McLaughlin. And today I am blessed to have our very good friend, Mr. Jason Elmore, absolute stud who has been crushing it in medical device sales for years on years, but also has some exciting updates. So if you guys have not seen some of the other episodes, please go back and watch it. Jason's a wealth of knowledge. We've done multiple shows and podcasts together. There's been some fun updates, so would love to just touch on that. But Jason, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Jacob. Glad to hear everything's going well. Congratulations on all your success. This is quite an interesting proposition you're bringing to the marketplace, right? Helping people break into the industry, becoming a resource to companies who, frankly, a lot of recruiters just won't take a chance on people that don't have experience. And so they're missing out on a lot of talent. And you're kind of filling a void in the market. So it's fascinating, you know, what you're accomplishing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, it's been a, like we were talking off air, it's been a real fun time of just being able to be in it, have the success, but kind of what we're going to talk about today is being able to share it with other people and then seeing where there might be some gaps that people could benefit from having great talent. Cause like I've even worked with people, you know, that were athletes that went out of high school and that you couldn't go get a college degree, but they were great athletes, right? But then they don't even get looked at because they don't have the degree and whatever it's looking for, which, you know, but yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. But even more important, what I'm excited to hear about is since the last time we talked, you got a little different thing going on in your life as well. Can you kind of speak to that?
Well, been MedTech, right, for the last 15 to 20 years. Wrote the book. The book became a consulting company. And then sure enough, the consulting company became a full-time opportunity. So, but then back in November, one of my favorite clients asked me to come on full-time as the vice president of commercial acceleration. And it was such a good opportunity and such a good company. And I, you know, there's one of those things you'll see this and your people will see this. Being able to be part of an awesome team with full of high caliber people is super attractive.
Come on.
We joke, as people are making decisions about job opportunities, we say, would you rather be the superstar on the Charlotte Hornets or would you rather be the sixth man on the Golden State Warriors championship teams, right? And I would argue anytime you get a chance to be part of a high caliber organization, you should take it. Long story short, there's just a phenomenal opportunity over here. Got the invitation and some friends are here. And so anytime you get a chance to help get an opportunity across the finish line to a good exit and you're dealing with good people, that's a place you should seriously consider going.
Yep.
And so I did. Still doing consulting, but still taking a VP spot.
Well, first off, congratulations, much earned.
Thanks.
What an exciting time. But I do just want to touch on that because you're so right. I had this talk with one of our students. We just got hired in 2 weeks at Stryker, but we talked about the team. And so many people marry the company or whatever it is, but it's the team that you're going with. And like you said, if you can find people, that's what I was very blessed with, especially at Innovus, was being around high caliber people who love what they do, are very good at what they do, but also friends that, like, I was just actually on with my buddy who still works there just an hour ago. And it's just being able to have lifelong friends. It's one of those things I think people miss because it's like when you get around people who are like you and then you actually enjoy being around them because you're going to be there because of work. It just is like this, you almost pinch yourself and you're like, how is this real? Like, how are we able to do this?
I had the luxury of being part of a really good high school football program. I was not a D1 athlete, but a number of the people on the team were. And we got a chance to go play at Three River Stadium and go to the finals and go. And it was just this amazing experience to be part of something with these other 10 guys. It was just a thrill of what we were able to accomplish, what I got to see myself do that I would have never been able to do without being part of that team.
Yep.
At Spyrox, we had a startup. There were 7 people in the field on the commercial organization, just stellar caliber people. And we miss each other. We miss, like, we couldn't wait to get on the 4 o'clock conference call to just share our successes from the day. And what did you learn? And what did you do? Like, what? That's awesome. And all those people have gone on to be very successful. No surprise, right? They were so high caliber, but I missed them.
Yeah.
And I missed that magic that we had. And so that's part of why I'm here over at Intrinsic. They have the magic. They've got the juice. There's something really special happening here. And it's just so good to be a part of. That's, you just love it.
There's nothing better about that. And then you're doing something you believe. You're with friends that you actually like to be around, and you're all high performers, which kind of leads me into what we had talked about going over today, is like seeking good advice. And the reason we're talking about seeking good advice and mentors is you're someone who's had 15, 20 years, like you mentioned, in this industry. You've worked with a lot of teams. You've seen a lot of good things and a lot of probably not such great things. What I've learned, and we were talking a little bit off air, is, you know, I just had a person who's in sales that is trying to break into med device sales, and they have a brother and a stepfather in med device sales. And their advice was just keep working your sales job and something will pop in your lap. And you and I were laughing, and like, that's probably some of the worst advice I've ever heard from any salespeople, because I don't know many people who have quota just fall into their lap. You go make it happen. You do the stuff. There's so many people who will give advice. And there's so many people who will try to tell you what to do, but in a lot of times they're not doing it themselves, or there could be people that are doing it. They don't know how to actually like resonate with somebody else, because I've learned this being in sports, but also having employees and working with a lot of people, getting over 1500 people hired, is, you know, like me and my brother are very different. You yell at me, you just flip the switch and I'm ready to go. You yell at my brother, he shuts down. He stops hearing a word you say. Right. And so I just wanted to talk with somebody like yourself who has that experience of being in for 15, 20 plus years, working with sales team, helping growing teams. What you've seen with people that have like really been able to, A, what advice is worth following and who should you even learn from? And then what that really looks like as a good mentor and where to go to help progress these people's lives. Because that's what I love, that who's listening to this is people who are wanting more. They're wanting to get better.
Whoever's listening, it's like, yes, I want good advice. How do I know if it's good or not? How do I know that the person giving it to me is giving, you know, how do I assess? In my training classes, there's the moment where I ask people to take a piece of paper and write down what 3 things have made you successful. All right, how did you get to this point? How did you get in this chair? We hear things like hard worker, passionate, driven, organized, relationships. Anyways, it works out to be a list. And every class, there's usually 1 or 2 things I've never heard before, right? Somebody puts on that list. Like, it's always interesting. But there are a lot of reoccurring themes. And frankly, the things that they put up on there, the traits and the characteristics, are super important. They're all valuable. You have to be driven. You have to be passionate. You have to be customer oriented. You have to be goal oriented. Like, you know, those are legit. That makes sense. But then I always ask them, if I put somebody in the car with you for 3 days, could you transfer any of those to the other person? Is anything you just said transferable? And it's amazing, because usually that list, like, none of it. Right. You can't transfer drive to the person in the car with you. You can't transfer, truly you can't transfer ethics. Either they have or they don't. Yeah. Anyways, most of those traits and those characteristics that go on that list are not transferable. And this is very problematic, to your point. If you're successful, but you can't articulate what's making you successful, and you can't transfer it to other people who are desperate to copy what you're doing, that's problematic. It's going to create pockets of success, which destabilize organizations. It's going to make you less valuable. And hear me clearly. I appreciate humility. I really do. But not now. This isn't the time to say, well, you know, I'm just working hard and every squirrel finds a nut. And like, no, people are desperate to know what's making you successful and how you're doing it because they want to copy it.
Yes.
And leaders and organizations need to copy it and sprinkle it. As you're thinking about advice, as you're thinking about advisors, as you're thinking about mentors, really it's important that they are able to articulate clearly what matters and what makes the difference between success and average. And that usually leads to leadership opportunities. So usually you don't rise, you shouldn't rise into leadership if you can't really articulate. Right now, for you and for me, at this point in our careers, we're getting paid for pattern recognition. So you do want to look for that in a mentor. Like, does this person have that ability? Are they pretty good at pattern recognition? Because that's where the insights come from. That's number one. But then two, can they articulate? Can they transfer? That example you gave me is kind of funny. About the father-in-law, like, hey, well, just wait for it. Like, that is screaming. This person has no pattern recognition, no insight. Like, okay, love you, super nice person, but you're not going to be one of my mentors.
Yeah.
And then the other thing for a lot of your audience is you're doing a good job of coaching them on how to interview. And part of that is, as you said, right? Like, you have to conduct your own interview. You need to find out, is this person you're about to go to work for successful? Do they know things? Because either they know how to be successful and they're going to help you, or they're not, like, they don't.
1,000%. And I just want to touch on that thing, is because what I see so many people do is, like, especially in the interview process, but I see it in med device sales when I work with a lot of new reps and stuff. It's when you start being desperate. Like, so for example, our people who are just trying to get in, they're like, oh my gosh, I just need a job, I just need whatever. And I'm like, no, you need to make sure it's a great fit. Right? You need to make sure. Yeah. The same thing, once you get into med device sales, you can't go up to a doctor and be like, please use my stuff, please do. It's all this. It's, hey, who are you and who are you confident with? But the reason I want to mention that aspect of it is, like you're saying, when you go talk to, like, a mentor who can actually be like, no, this is what it is, because I've done it so many times and I've been able to do it and I've done it with other people. I think that's the thing that really I always want to get across to people, because there's a lot of, like we're saying, there's a lot of people who might be able to be in a career for a certain amount of time, but they might not know why they've been successful, or they might not be able to tell you why and be able to actually make it transferable. But the big thing I just want everyone to hear is what Jason's really pointing out, is, like, we can help people get to where they want to do, but they have to interview, and what's the team they're going to be on? Is it going to be somebody that can actually teach them, grow them, and has done that with other people? Because I know one of the other podcasts you and I had talked about, you talked about one of the questions in an interview should be like, hey, regional manager, can you tell me about your other associate that was here, and where did they go after that, and how long were they in this position? Because it actually shows the success. And so I just want to mention that, because it's no different than we help people that are break in, but we've also helped people that are in the industry have success as associates in first year and all that, because I've been able to do it as well. Can you recognize what you're doing, and can you be able to teach it and then be able to pass it on? And one quote I just want to mention real quick, Jason, because it's going to make me mad if I don't say it, is, I love Ted Lasso. I've just gotten into it. So you love London. You need to watch Ted Lasso if you haven't, but I'm sure you probably already have. But there's a quote in there by Higgins, and it's literally my life's motto now. And it's so funny, but I heard it and I was like, that's me forever, is, a good mentor hopes you move on. A great mentor knows you will. And he said that when Keely was, like, moving on. But the reason I just say that is that quote hit me so hard, of, like, why I like to do what I do and what we do is, like, the whole goal is to pass the baton and have somebody go even farther than you could, faster. And that's, I think that's what makes a really great mentor, is they actually become selfless. And the last thing I'll say, and I would love to hear your thoughts, but one thing that's really changed my life is, like, you and I are both men of faith, but, like, what I always think about is, like, God, and I think about Jesus as a leader when he washes the disciples' feet. And I think that's something for me that's always, like, hit me hard when I'm trying to be a leader. I run my own companies, I've been in sales and all this stuff, is the moment I see salespeople, or people think they're too good, they get too high on their boat and it's just about them, I see things start getting shaky. But the moment they go back and they're like, how can I go feed into others and make sure other people are taken care of? That's where I see something special really start to happen.
Yeah. And it affects leaders and how they conduct themselves, some of the risks they take, some of the things they avoid, you know. It lends itself to a whole bunch of good decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want from our leaders. right? That is what we want from our leaders. Having become an elder in my church, it's interesting if you can apply this to your business life. There are deacons and there are elders. Okay, deacons handle material needs, elders handle spiritual needs. But the Bible gives specific criteria for what those people must be if they want to hold those offices. And there's 13 or 14 items. The distinction between the deacons and the elders, though, is very interesting. To be an elder, you have to have two qualifications that the deacons do not have to have. An elder has to have the gift of hospitality and the ability to teach. So the gift of hospitality is so critical to building teams, working with teams, being willing to give, making people feel safe, making people feel comfortable, going out of your way to do what's necessary. Think of, you know, going to somebody's house that you've really enjoyed, you really felt welcome, they really made you feel special, like, you know, good listening skills, and, you know, really knew how to take care of a group of people. Hospitality. Funny, though, that's critical. The higher you get up the ladder, your ability to be approachable and take care of people and that thing you were getting at a moment ago, really serve people and understand that's critical, is a big piece of that. The second part is the teaching, though. A deacon has to hold the faith in his hands, and it says hold the mystery of the faith without doubt, meaning doesn't have to understand it completely, doesn't even have to be able to defend or articulate it, but has to be able to sign a statement of faith and say, yeah, I believe this, even though I can't explain it all to you. That's okay for a deacon, okay? But an elder can't. An elder has to be knowledgeable, articulate, able to advocate and defend, exhort people, support, counsel, right? It's a much higher level. And that's what you want from a mentor. You want somebody who actually does have insights and can teach it to you. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say you won't run into both of those leaders in business. You will.
Yep.
Right. You'll have them both getting after it, getting it done. But one literally can't explain it to you. Yeah. They can't. Mm-hmm. And so it's an odd example, but it actually applies. And I've seen this. Those qualifications are out there and you want to be looking for it in your mentors. As you're thinking about, was that good advice or bad advice? Qualify the person who gave it to you.
Yeah. So good. I love that because that's one thing I talk to a lot of people about is they're like, hey, Jacob, I spoke to 15 different people and they all gave me different advice. Yeah, that's pretty common. But what's tough, especially if the people are trying to break in, you don't know, like what they'll do is they'll be like, oh, they work at Stryker, J&J, Medtronic, whatever it is. And just because they work at the dream job that they want to have, they just take them for granted. Whatever they say, it's gold. Right. But then they go talk to other people and then they're like, well, I'm not sure. But then we talk to reps. Like I just talked to a girl the other day. She's been in med device sales for about a year, not making more than $65,000 in ortho. She's struggling. She's like talking to her team members and they're not making a crazy amount. But then she's like, well, I'm really confused here. And that's what one of the things I love about us and like first year in, it's like, you know, we just got somebody hired at 148K, but I'll get a lot of ortho reps who have been like, that's not real because I've been in for 2 years and I only make 110. And I'm like, well, I apologize. It is real. It's just you haven't seen the other side, or you've been listening to somebody who might not be able to share that with you. And so I think that's just something that I it's such a good point, but I wanted to just put out there is like, that's why we're making this episode is you guys can go all learn and reach out to a bunch of people. And just because somebody has made it to a certain level, I think it's more of just learning about that person. And then when you get on a conversation, what is actually going on there? Because like you said, I've personally seen it and we've all seen it in med device sales, outside of med device sales and sports or whatever it is. There's that one person who just is like very good and they just focus on themselves the whole time and they're gonna climb pretty high. But then there's the time of, hey, like you said, I absolutely love, if it's not driven, if it's ethical, all that stuff, can you go into a car for 3 days and teach it to them? A lot of these people can't. And that's one of the things that I think is really big. That's what I love, like being a personal trainer. That's all we did was you have to teach people how to squat right and do all the things right. So that's why it's like I've been teaching. I wanted to be a strength coach so I could teach young men how to lift, but also be there. So I've like really got into the teaching world of being able to, how do I be able to relate to somebody? How can I be able to understand where they're at? And I think that's one of the biggest things too. I just want to state as I've climbed this, and somebody actually just said they saw a video of me 4 years ago in my car that was $3,000 handing out my resume to people, to the surgery centers when I was trying to break into med device sales, is there's a lot of people that can climb these, but then they'll forget what it was like to be down here. And then they can't relate to that point of where that person's at in life. And so then they just talk way high level and then people miss it. And so I think that was, I just wanted to mention that because I see that a lot with people. They'll be like, well, I just did this or I've done this, but they kind of forget what it was like 2 years ago or what it was when they first started going into it.
Yeah. And to stick with the coaching analogy that you brought up, a lot of really premier athletes cannot transition into the coaching.
Come on.
Right. So if I like Jordan probably wasn't any type of person to be a coach. So it's always interesting, fascinating for me to look at the athletes who do become successful coaches or successful GMs. One of the things I've noticed that I think applies here, my best managers, my best mentors, the men and women that I've seen do the best job of leading organizations, in particular in medtech, there was an integrity across the board. They were good spouses. They were good parents. They still had good relationships with their siblings. They good decisions at meetings and the way they conducted themselves. And when you dug in a little bit deeper, there was a consistency across the board. They tended not to be divorced. Their kids hadn't gone off the rails. They had a healthy relationship with, like I said, with their spouses, and it just wasn't just at work. Yeah. It's my point.
Come on.
As you're thinking on this topic of advice and getting good advice and really trying to select or qualify the person giving you good advice, part of getting good advice is getting it from a good person.
Come on.
That's been my experience.
That's so good.
Right?
Yep.
And it's odd because to take the sports analogy, a lot of the killers in sports, right? A lot of people who like uber ultra successful, Michael Jordan, I guess, would be an example. That dude's private life wasn't the greatest. No. He did some amazing things and became an amazing basketball player. But I think I'm looking at some other athletes that I really like to see people who go to the top and excel at the highest levels, but manage to keep it together on the personal side. Is that fair?
1,000%. And I love that you said that because like, I actually just had this talk with one of our students. And the reason I say that is being a young person in Scottsdale, I'm very fortunate about to be around very financially successful people. And what a lot of those people love to do is give you advice on how you should live your life. And what my comment was to those people is, being where I'm at, having the life I do, they're like, oh, you could do this, you could also do that. But like what I'll sit here and tell you is everyone's going to tell you how you should live your life or how they want you to, because they're not doing it. But the reason I'm saying that is like, I've always said this, if they're very successful, like millionaires, I'll take financial advice or I'll take business advice from them. But when they start telling me to go sleep around or do all this other stuff, like that's not who I am. And that's, I don't want to be that advice. And so it's like what you're saying is like, there's people I feel like we can always be learning from, but if I'm not relating to them on a lot of places, it's like, I'll take pieces and be like, that's great, but it's not what I'm going to really like take down in my soul and like go for. Cause I can just sit here and tell you, my friends, like one of the most successful people in my life, my grandpa, and he didn't make a lot of money, but like my grandma tells me the story about how he used to drive to the gas station, pump the gas for her and tell her to save her money. And like that every time gets me like, and so what I've just learned is so many times people will just put like success with money, but like what's the success of actual life? And I love that you said that. Yeah.
Well, if our audience needs some advice, right, you and I have enjoyed some of the people who've reached out who said, hey, really enjoyed the podcast, but have taken us up on our offer. Like, we will take your call. We will talk to you.
Yes.
So if we can be of help, please give us a call. We really appreciate the feedback on the podcast and some of the topics we've been able to cover, and I'm glad that it's helping.
Yeah. And we're just, thank you for listening to us, everyone. Again, we just want to continue just to provide value to you all. Cause again, it's one of those things is it's great to have success, but why not share it with other people and have you guys win at your own life too. So I really appreciate you all taking the time. If you haven't, please go check out Jason on LinkedIn and Elite Execution website. Because he does a lot of consulting. I will just say he is very busy now, but, but he does make time for you all. And again, feel free to reach out to us, Jacob McLaughlin, new to medical device sales on LinkedIn. But Jason, I just want to say thanks again once more for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us.
Absolutely. It's good to talk to you. Take care.
Yeah, good talking to you. And if you guys can, press that like and subscribe button. A 5-star review helps us grow this channel. If you guys are interested in breaking in medical device sales, please feel free to click the link below. And we will see you on the next one. Peace.